We've come to sermon number 25, Surviving the Coming Tribulation. This 25th message is on the seven last plagues. Why would we have a message, the second to last one in our series on the seven last plagues? Isn't that rather grotesque? Are we trying to scare people into the kingdom of God when they hear about a noisome and grievous sore that covers their body, when they hear about rivers and waters and the fountains of waters and the seas turning to blood and the sun scorching men and darkness and the seat of the beast and the battle of Armageddon and hailstones coming down from heaven? Is our motivation to scare them to accept Christ? Certainly not. The reason we include this sermon is not because of the plagues, but because of the climax of the plagues. In the climax of the plagues, Jesus Christ comes. He returns. And this sermon points out that in spite of the time of trouble, this world is still in God's hands, that wickedness will ultimately be vanquished, defeated, conquered, and destroyed, and Christ will come. So keep in your mind throughout the sermon that the emphasis is on the coming of the Lord and deliverance. We begin the sermon by pointing out, really in a quite lengthy expose in the first 8 to 9 pages, that the seven last plagues are the last ones, but there were 10 plagues that fell on Egypt. And we describe the fact that Israel was in bondage to the Egyptians, and Pharaoh would not allow the Israelites to go free. But God used the plagues to break Pharaoh's hold on the Israelites so that Israel will be delivered. So Israel went through the plagues and was delivered after the plagues. That takes place over the first 8 pages, and continue to emphasize that as you're going through your sermon, that the plagues were used by God to deliver Israel from Egyptian captivity, just like the seven last plagues will be used by God to deliver us from the church-state union in bondage. There is one other thing here that's quite subtle, that unless I mention it to you, you may not see it, and it might be nice to add a line on it. The people that believe the rapture believe that the rapture occurs at the beginning of the tribulation, and that the saints or people of God are not here during the tribulation, but they're raptured. Israel lived in Egypt during the plagues and was delivered after the plagues. So likewise, in the last days of Earth's history, God's people will go through the plagues protected, but be delivered after the plagues. We then come down to the transitionary statement that takes us from the plagues of Egypt to the plagues in the last days of Earth's history, and that's on page 10. And the transitionary statement is really 3 paragraphs that we've written that will take you from the plagues of Egypt down to the seven last plagues. And it is given in these 3 paragraphs, top of page 10 on your manual, Surviving the Coming Tribulation, Sermon 25. Well, you say, that's an interesting story, that referring to the plagues of Egypt. But how is it important for those of us living in the 20th century? It may appear to be unimportant, but it isn't. In fact, it couldn't be more important. You see, in the New Testament, we find the most remarkable prophecies giving the details of the final events that will occur on earth. These prophecies make it crystal clear that once again, plagues will fall, but on a much more devastating scale. Yes, according to the Bible, history is going to be repeated. Not 10 plagues, but 7. They're going to culminate in the deliverance of God's people, not from Egypt, but from a planet in rebellion. Daniel describes this period in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. So Daniel 12, 1 is your first text that you'll read from the screen with the audience. Daniel 12, verse 1. Did you see how the transition was made? From the plagues of Egypt to the plagues in the last days of Earth's history. Daniel 12, verse 1 is the first text. It says, and you'll read it from the screen with your audience, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation." A time of trouble such as never was will burst upon the world. The 7 last plagues of Revelation will burst upon this world. Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10, that's page 11 in your notes, call this period the wrath of God. The wrath of God. God's wrath unmingled with mercy. The plagues are described in Revelation, the 16th chapter. Revelation chapter 16, finding that on page 13. It begins to go through the plagues. Revelation 16, verse 2 talks about a vial poured out upon the earth upon those who have the mark of the beast. Now, incidentally, Those that do not receive the mark do not receive the plagues. Every one of these plagues that is poured out, and this is a little aside for you that you do not have in your notes, every plague corresponds to specific sins or principles. Let me give you just one or two examples, and then you can study this out on your own, but something to keep in notice in case somebody asks you. Those who enforced the mark of the beast said, "We will physically harm you if you don't take the mark of the beast." The first plague is a physical plague on the body. It shows that they could not deliver what they promised. Second plague, what is it? Revelation chapter 16, the sea turns to blood. Well, in the mark of the beast, they said, unless you take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. What is the sea? It's the center of economic trade. You have the sea turning to blood and it being polluted, and some that'll be a natural disaster that'll affect the whole economy of the world, you see. So to receive the mark of the beast, what do they say? They say, unless you take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. God shows them in the plagues, you can't deliver what you said. See, the first plague says there's only physical security in Christ. The second plague says there's only economic security in Christ. See, every one of these plagues are saying something to us. And what are they saying? That there is no security outside of Jesus Christ. So we go through the plagues. We detail them on pages 14, 15, 16. We come down to page 17. And on page 17, we point out that just at the end of the plagues, Revelation chapter 16, Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 and onward, it says, "And the sixth angel poured out its bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." Now, what if somebody comes up to you at the end of your lecture and says, "Hey, I have a question for you. What does it mean that the river Euphrates is dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared?" Here's a very simple answer. The river Euphrates went through the center of Babylon. It provided the life support system. Babylon in the last days represents religious confusion. It represents an organizational religious structure. The river Euphrates, what does water represent in the Bible? People. So the people that support Babylon after the plagues are poured out all turn against Babylon. The support system. So there's absolute confusion. Do you understand that? Just as the literal rivers of Euphrates supported the literal city of Babylon, so there have been people, multitudes, unions of church and state that have supported this religious false system. All of that falls apart. That support dries up. The way of the kings of the east. Who are the kings of the east? As lightning shines from the east even unto the west, the Son of Man comes. Jesus comes as king of what? Kings. Who are the kings of the east? Just as Cyrus came from the east to deliver Israel, so Jesus Christ is our king of the east. The kings of the east are not literal kings. It's the coming of the Lord to deliver his people at the end of the plagues. That's what the plagues are emphasizing. During this sermon, do not emphasize the gore and the blood of the plagues. Emphasize the promises of God. Emphasize that Jesus is coming to deliver his people. That whatever we go through in life, Christ is there as a mighty, powerful deliverer. Revelation 16, verse 16, page 17, bottom. Page 17, bottom. Revelation 16, verse 16. It says, there, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice from heaven came, said, it is done." That's verse 17. It's done. It's finished. Christ is going to come. But before he comes, what happens? Verse 16, they gathered them together in the place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. What is Armageddon? If anybody asks you, I wasn't clear. What is Armageddon? Here's your answer. Armageddon comes from two words. Har Megiddo. Har means mountain. Megiddo means slaughter. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, chapter 5, Armageddon, Har Megiddo, was the place where the wicked came to destroy the righteous, but God brought reinforcements and destroyed the wicked. So it is the mountain of slaughter where the wicked are slaughtered. So in the last days of Earth's history, church-state union develops. God's people are persecuted. They face the mark of the beast. As probation closes and every human being has their choice for or against Christ, the plagues are poured out. as the plagues are poured out, the support system of Babylon, the support system of the beast system dries up. All the world then is brought to its final test. Satan works his final spiritual revival. The spirits of demons, we're on page 17. The spirits of demons, middle of the page, work miracles, try to draw support back together for those who've turned their back on the beast power now and who are in riot and revolution. So there are miracles that bring again a second false unity. They rush upon the people of God. They try to destroy them. But the last plague comes out. Hailstones fall from heaven, and the armies of heaven descend. One of the most magnificent prophecies in all the Bible is Revelation chapter 19. Here it is. Revelation 19. We've come to the end of time. We've come to the seven last plagues. The last plague's been poured out. The wicked are going to rush upon the righteous. The wicked are going to try to destroy them. Satan has masqueraded as an angel of light, and he says, this is our last chance. And the Bible says that heaven opens. The hailstones fall. And then, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was faithful and true, and he judges and makes war. It's God's time to make war now. It's final Armageddon. It's Earth's last battle. The battle between good and evil. The battle between Christ and Satan. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had on a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in white linen, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress. Notice the expression, the winepress, of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. How do the seven plagues end? They end with the wicked rushing upon the righteous. They end with it apparently the righteous being stamped out, but the hailstones fall from heaven. The heavens open. Christ comes. All of wickedness is destroyed. All of error is destroyed. All of sin is destroyed. So during the seven last plagues, page 21, we don't need to be afraid, because according to Psalm 91, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it's not going to come near you as you turn your life over to Christ. He will protect you during the plagues, and he will deliver you at the end of the plagues. Protection during the plagues, deliverance at the end of the plagues, this is our destiny. I want to turn my life over to him. I want to go through those plagues protected, sheltered in the arms of Christ. And I want to look forward to that day that Christ will come with the armies of heaven, and all of wickedness will be destroyed. Don't you want that in your life? Would you like to stand with me tonight and say, Lord, protect me during the plagues. And Lord, come and deliver me at the end of the plague. So we have a call for people to stand. They stand. And at that point, we pray for them. An exciting Bible message on the deliverance and power of the living God.